Welcome. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News. Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Happy Thanksgiving. Look at me, Pastor Hawkinson. What do you think I was going to say? Happy what? Happy New Year? Well, technically, it's the new year for the church.
Well, right? I don't. Excuse me. I wasn't even looking at you. I was just adjusting my volume here on these headphones.
Sure. That's sure. I will be judging your motive throughout
your red
the hour
shirt.
Today.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm judging your red shirt right now.
You
so
are,
I'm judging.
Really?
Yes. Well, that's right. I like it.
Sort of in a Pentecost state of mind.
Yeah, I understand.
You know?
Yeah, celebrity.
I'm going to dig out the purple shirt for Advent.
Well, not quite Advent yet, though. That's the only thing.
A couple of days off. It's not quite Thanksgiving. So, are you all
that's
prepared
right.
and ready to go
for
Thanksgiving?
Yeah, certainly.
You know,
we're
that's tomorrow.
There. Yes.
Check your calendar.
Sakes. Oops. Ouch.
Really?
You know? I kind of live one day at a time, Roland. And
do
when
you?
I get to Thanksgiving, then I'll Thanksgiving. But before Thanksgiving, I don't think. No, that's not true. Every day for the Christian is a day of praise and thanksgiving.
Well,
Psalm,
it should be.
Psalm 100, shout to the Lord, shout joyfully to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and all that.
We tend to neglect that on a daily basis.
We do.
Well, we get it out of the way on Sunday, don't we?
Yeah. Then
all that praise and thanksgiving.
Are
let
you
me get back to about life.
Are you inferring that the Christian is a different person on Monday through Friday?
I don't know.
Or is it...
well, we're supposed to be, aren't we?
Different? Well, in one sense.
Peculiar?
But peculiar or different than they were on Sunday.
Well, no, we're not supposed to be.
No, that's the deal.
That's Pastor Mark Hawkinson. You know him every day, Monday through Friday. Faithfully appears here on your radio dial at 8:50 a.m. with Moments of Assurance. And I kid you not, my wife's favorite program. And
well,
she's off today, so don't be shocked if she calls in and says,
"All right,
Pastor Mark, you are my favorite host."
Well, tell her thank you, and if she's listening, thank you very much for the compliment. And by the way, my wife also listens to the Bible study.
Well, good morning to you also, Mrs. Hawkinson.
Thank you. All right.
Good to have you alongside.
Yes.
You get to look at, well, an extension of what Pastor Lukumsky started yesterday. Discourse on judging and not judging. And yesterday, you said you had a bone to pick with Pastor Lukumsky.
No, not really. I'm just kidding. Well, I just think a person should ought to be able to eat vegetables. The thing about vegetables I love, and if my wife is listening, she's probably take issue with that, but there are certain snacks that my daughter has fixed for me every night when I get home that includes veggies. And
really?
So I love the veggies. Mm-hmm. It's good for you.
I'm sorry.
You don't
I'm
like
sorry.
You like fun. I know you like fun food. That's your problem there. You're into the fun food.
I mean, you know, put a couple of tomatoes and a pickle on a cheeseburger.
Okay.
And that's, well, I guess technically tomatoes are fruit. But a couple of pickles, slice of lettuce, that's good.
Tomatoes, my favorite food. The red sauce, Mexican. Love it.
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me.
It's not noon yet. It's not lunchtime.
We have to go through Romans chapter 14, verses 5 to 12. Well, food is something that you bring into your discussions during your
program.
It's
in the discussion.
So, you know, all this ties together. It's all given to us as God's good creation for our enjoyment and for our use in serving our neighbor, right?
Absolutely.
So good advice. Eat your vegetables.
I'll do it.
Quote Pastor Hawkinson the next time the kids say no.
That's right. Well, thanks a lot
for Pastor Mark says,
endearing me to them. Thanks for endearing me to them. That really helped.
Well, isn't that what you call raising your children in the fear and admonition of Pastor Mark Hawkinson?
Right. No, in the admonition of the Lord.
I'm
hardly that. So, all right.
All right. We get Romans chapter 14, verses 5 to 12. And I think only appropriate that as we have people listening in England and Estonia, Colombia and 10 other countries and 29 states, including the state of New York, where they're listening in Owego, Rochester, and even New York City, New York, New York, a place so nice they named it twice, I think is what they say.
I guess so.
Right?
I've always wondered about that.
Let us remember.
So you just answered. You know, after all these years of wondering about it, and I now have the answer.
Do you?
Thank you.
Well, everything I know I stole from someone else,
okay,
so we'll just pass it along.
Let's
I don't know for what do we want to be thankful today. We have Bible study, we have KFUO, we have, it's chilly, but wonderful weather in St. Louis right now. Bright sunshine, that's always good, even on a cold day.
Yeah.
So for what should we be thankful? And don't say all of it, because that's too easy.
I'm not going to say all of it. I'm going to say for my heart that is beating. At my age, that's a gift.
It is.
At my age, when your heart keeps beating and your lungs are expanding, you have a double gift to be thankful for right there.
Yeah, I'm thankful that God answers prayers, sometimes in the oddest ways, especially prayers that you don't know you're praying. Because I recall, golly, 6 years ago, I found myself complaining regularly that I didn't have enough time to spend in the Word of God, and that I found myself out of work.
I think that prayer has been responded to.
And then suddenly I found myself here, and every day now I get the joy of not only being in the Word, but actually dealing with some of the best teachers, you know, good Lutheran pastors and scholars.
It's a good niche for you.
So that's what I'm thankful for.
Yeah. I'm thankful for the privilege of having a program on KFUO myself.
Absolutely.
It is a great privilege, and I don't take it lightly. I do not take it lightly. So I'm very, very thankful. And I'm thankful for this scripture that says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever." So a mercy that endures despite my sin, it's all about him, as you all have been talking about.
Absolutely. So if you would start us, sir.
Gracious God in heaven, thanks for that verse that reminds each Christian of the real reason around the Thanksgiving table to be grateful. And that's that enduring, everlasting mercy that keeps coming back through your precious word and sacraments and filling each Christian with hope and with the ability to cope with anything that would come their way. Gracious God, help that each one of us would be able to have at our Thanksgiving table a recognition of the presence of your only begotten Son who is also there. He said, "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So thanks for cooks that are able and food on the table and salvation awaiting each Christian in Jesus Christ. Bless the study today, and may it be another reason for Thanksgiving tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you would like to join us, remember, it's Pastor Mark Hawkinson who is here today. 821-0850 here in St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. All points hither and yon, even beyond St. Louis, Missouri. And if you happen to be listening in one of those many, many countries or states that is online right now, you can also send us an email if it's not convenient to pick up the phone and dial the numbers in, kfuo@kfuo.org. 14 is the chapter, 5 to 12 are the verses assigned. We begin. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. The one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Very appropriate for Thanksgiving that we get this text today.
I think so.
That's nothing I timed out. That's again the Spirit at work. For none of us lives to himself, and none dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brothers? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. And that is the text for today.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well,
so what do you do with that?
Well, a lot of things. We treat people well, we treat them poorly, based on judging their motives. That's what came out of yesterday's lesson, I think. We like to assume things. That was another word that we talked about yesterday. And even though we don't know what's in someone's heart, we still do it anyway.
Hypocritical judging is what you and I are guilty of at times as we look at another person, what they might be wearing, what they might be saying, the way they might be conducting themselves at church, the way they might be praying, the way they might discipline their children, something they might say in a voters' meeting. A conviction about whether or not to have carpeting in the church because the music director says, now that's going to ruin the sound of the Schlicker organ, this new Schlicker organ that we have. You have to be carpetless. You must have a church that I've heard this argument again and again. And it's just dealer's choice there. It's adiaphoron. It's whatever you think. It's neither commanded nor forbidden.
A couple of years ago at Ascension, they had pulled out all the old carpet, and they were going to lay new carpet down. And we had to go a couple of weeks with just the old floor.
Right.
The place never sounded so good.
I'll bet.
And everyone, a lot of folks said, why don't we leave it like this? Too late. We already ordered the carpet. We got to put it down. We were stuck with it.
So help
me with this. I think Paul, without a clear critical understanding of what he's saying, could be judged improperly as being sort of Pollyannish here, telling us that we're all supposed to accept one another and love one another, not judge one another. And, you know, that might work in theory.
It
but you know what,
Pollyanna.
Pastor, in real life, in really, show me one place in the world where this actually works.
Well, it works for the Christian. And see, the deal is that St. Paul's coming from a certain perspective here. After all, remember, he was knocked off the chariot on the Damascus Road. He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so his he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He went through a lot of trials in prison. In fact, he wrote this from prison. And, you know, he wrote to the Philippians from prison. And yet he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. How could he do that? And that's how you're looking at it. I understand it. You're saying, hey, the world doesn't look at things this way. And I heard a sermon with my pastor where I attend worship. I'm retired from the parish, so I attend worship on Sunday. And he was basically saying, you know, if there's not any difference between your behavior and the behavior of a person in the world, then something's not right. And I thought, wait a minute. Now, yeah, there should be some difference, but on the other hand, of course, we're not saved by that difference. And you pointed that out yesterday, along with the guest pastor, Pastor Lukomsky, that we have to be careful we don't add anything to the message for salvation. But still, there should be some difference. So St. Paul, he's coming from that perspective.
Right.
You're
right.
Coming from you do an excellent job of identifying with the hearer. What is the hearer really thinking? And as they read this text, they're saying, you know, I have trouble identifying with St. Paul here. I have trouble. He's either out there or he's up there or he's somewhere else than I am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But what Paul is saying is you can be where I'm at in your thinking and in your doing and in your practice by not judging and by enjoying the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John chapter 8, it talks about being free indeed. I always say that means free with no strings attached.
Well, but you know, Pastor, no one else is listening, are they? Can we have a moment in the confessional?
We can
here?
have just a you moment, know, but not too long.
People are so darn annoying.
Really?
They really are.
Have you discovered that? Why don't you?
You just got off the highway, didn't you?
You
just got off the highway.
Stop right there.
No. See,
I was running late. Okay, I was running late.
Don't let me annoy you, but yeah, I mean, we're supposed to just love and accept people. Yeah, maybe the safe thing to do is intentionally misread this kind of a text, and maybe some in the church today do this. What if we just said that, well, you know, it's up to conscience, do whatever you want, so long as your mind is clear about it, Jesus will sort it out at the end of time.
Well,
just let everybody, you know, just do whatever you want.
That gets on the other side of the spectrum there, and you have to be careful about that too, because we don't have a license to sin. See, that's the deal. You know, the privilege of being a Christian brings with it living. That's part of being at that Thanksgiving table and giving thanks for the grace and mercy and the forgiveness of a Savior who died for us and who rose again, and the Father accepted his own son's sacrifice. That is what I am most grateful for this Thanksgiving. Everything else pales in comparison. Because after all, you know, I've had some health problems.
Serious ones. Yeah.
Dealing with cancer. I just got another report here yesterday that was not great. The markers are up a little. I don't like to hear that, so maybe more aggressive treatment is necessary. Well, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, but I do remember this. We're only a heartbeat away from eternity. A heartbeat. So, you know, that helps to keep your life and my life kind of in perspective, and it helps me to keep from judging. Like, I do a lot of driving, you know, in the work that I do and in the play that I do.
Plugged Mid-America Coaches, they underwrite part of KFUO.
That's right. That's one of our underwriters, Mid-American Coaches Charter Service, and I serve them, and I serve KFUO as retired from the parish and enjoy both positions very much. And it's easy to judge on the highway. And if somebody cuts you off or somebody doesn't use their signal light and things like that, you think, oh, that's a stupid idiot. You know, why would he do something? Or he cut you? Or they just do silly things that don't make any sense. You know,
they drive past you with that creative way of saying, you're number one with me.
That's right.
Yes. Experience that beforehand.
That's right.
Yeah. I think we all have.
There's a Latin phrase, experientia docet, which means experience is the best teacher. So you get out on the highway, experience Corinthians will teach you to be patient. You have to be patient and try to not judge and say, well, maybe they're upset about something or they had a bad day. And it's the same way if you open the door for someone. Have you ever done that? Have you ever opened the door for someone and they don't say thank you?
Yes.
Happens to me. Yes. And I think, well, why didn't they say thank you?
But, you know, I've noticed that lately it's not as much as it used to be.
In other words, there's more Thanksgiving today?
It's anecdotal to me, but, you know, this morning,
I
stopped in at a place and held the door as I, and so they said thank you.
Okay. Well, I'd say probably 75% do. And something like that, at least 75-80%.
Well, that's St. Louis. We're nice.
Yeah. Well, St. Louis is a nice place.
Like
indeed.
New York, who knows what they're going to say. Well,
that's a good comparison because I've noticed in my travels, when I travel to certain other, which will remain nameless, other cities, that it is a little bit less friendly. But I know St. Louis is a very friendly,
place.
Yeah, yeah, they're obliging. So, but judging another person happens because of the sinful nature. You have a sinful nature.
You blame my sinful nature for everything, don't you?
But, well, I've got one too, and that the sinful nature places I above Christ. St. Paul said it's no longer I. Remember? St. Paul said it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives me. Well, the sinful nature switches that around. It's no longer Christ who lives, but I who live in me. And so it's all about me.
Die to self.
I heard that in the morning program that was discussed in that Bible study on first, I believe it was 1 Peter that they were discussing. I enjoyed that as well. But it's not all about you. And you know that because the Lord has gifted you with the position you have now. And you know that it's all about His grace giving you the insights and the gifts to be able to perform and do what you do.
Mm.
And I know you're grateful for that. You do a good job, a very good job. And
it's all a gift.
Yeah, that's right. It's all God's doing. But the passing of judgment, for example, one day better than another. We don't, as Christians, we don't observe the Sabbath. Most Christians observe Sunday, and this started after Pentecost, that the Jewish Christians began worshiping on Sunday. But even there's a danger. There's a danger if somebody insists that one must worship on Sunday, because that doesn't matter. Colossians chapter 3, let no one judge you in matters of food and drink or new moons or the Sabbath day. So there is freedom in the selection of the day. But this is the reason they chose that day. That's the day Jesus rose, as you know. Jesus rose from the dead, so that day was chosen. So even in 2013, there's a danger of judging, just like the Apostle Paul was talking about. And don't think that St. Paul was some sort of a great saint, that he never sinned. Of course he did. He sinned, and he called himself the chief of sinners and all of that. And so he just is coming from a perspective that he wants the Romans to have and you and I to have as well.
We started to talk about this yesterday, and probably worthy of another few moments, about what is a non-essential. What can we argue about, and what should we not argue about?
Well, and that's a good question. Neither commanded nor forbidden.
Because that's a moving target. Depending upon who you talk to, that is a moving target. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I agree with you. I agree. It's subject to, debate and interpretation and all of that. Well,
how you dress to go to church might be something. That's how you dress when you go to church.
That's a good example. Let's say you're sitting. Okay. Yeah. Let's say you're in the front pew. I've seen you in the front pew there at Ascension. Okay.
That's because nobody else will sit there.
You have a very fine family, and you get your whole family together, and you're sitting in the front pew, and you're enjoying, the acolyte, and this is not a cut to your church or anything else, but what if the acolyte were, let's make it hypothetical and say that, I'm not saying this ever happened at your church, but they come with tennis shoes on and shorts during it might be easy to judge and say, hey, aren't you supposed to give your best to the Lord?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Maybe their heart is giving the best to the Lord. Maybe that means so much to them, acolyting. It's easy to judge. Now, if you want to correct that behavior, then you have to have some acolyte guidelines or something that they go by or something like that. But it's easy to make if I'm visiting a church summertime and I'm visiting a church on vacation, and it's easy to compare with my own. Don't you do that? You compare with your own home congregation.
Oh, sure. It's only natural.
And your own home congregation, you put up on a pedestal because it is, you consider it better. And then you see somebody, some behavior, and you make a judgment on it. You've done that, I'm sure. I have too. You see something going on, and it's easy to judge.
Well,
but you don't have hypocritically judge as though you would never do something like that. That's what it means to hypocritically judge. When you say, oh, by golly,
I'd never do that.
Hmm. Well, there's no sin that you'd never do. That's the bottom line. I had a professor say that once at the seminary. He says, don't think that because you're a seminary student that somehow or another you're immune from sin or from even the worst of sin, and you're even capable of murder. That's what he said. Oh, ouch.
Now, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a liturgical church.
Right.
We have orders that we follow. Right.
We do.
We have days that we observe. Right.
We follow
a church calendar that traces the path of Christ from birth to death to resurrection. That's the cycle of the church year.
And that's very important to follow that, because otherwise you just keep repeating yourself.
And what if I decide that's all baloney? What if I say, as far as I'm concerned, that means nothing to me. My conscience is clear. I'm not going to show up this Easter Sunday. It doesn't matter.
Well,
that's just a day. See, that's what Paul's talking about, right?
That's right.
You like Easter? I have no use for it, so let's just say whatever.
Okay, well.
Now, of course, this is all hypothetical. No cards and letters,
you must
please.
Be fully persuaded, the scripture says in the text there. You must be fully persuaded that what you're doing is right, and your conscience is bound. As Martin Luther said, you bind your conscience to the Word of God. So if that's what the Word of God tells you. Only thing is, I would say a person that would decide in that manner could be treading on thin ice, because you might fall through. Eventually, it can be dangerous to never forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but that's a good example of neither commanded nor forbidden, adi aphoron. What would another thing be? Oh, I suppose, should the choir wear robes? I mean, this type of thing. Should there be a dinner after the Advent services? Some congregations have dinners, some don't. Is that important? Or as one parishioner said to me when I was still in the parish, you mean, Pastor, we have to feed them to get them to come to church? And you know what I told her? I said, you bet. I said, if it works, don't knock it.
But I mean, if you're someone who is in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I'll look at us because this is our context, and they don't like church years, they don't like liturgy, they want things to be a little bit more freestyle. You got to wonder what they're doing in this kind of a church to start with.
That's right, because the Lutheran Church, we are a liturgical church.
Yeah.
And so what is it that attracted them? It might be grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone.
Or it could be that it's the closest church to their house.
Yeah, convenience. Yes. Convenience attracted
them. Have you not
them.
Noticed, and I don't want to open a can of worms here. We only have about a minute before we go to the break.
It's been quite a while since I've fished.
It's a good time, with only a minute left to open a can of worms. But how many people come into a church and they don't like what they see and they go, I'm going to change this place. I don't like this.
I've experienced that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like this. You conform to me, not the other way around.
That's right.
And then maybe they could use this text from Paul to judge why to justify why they do that.
Well, the only problem is they're lacking humility, and humility is a part of not judging. In order to not judge, one must be humble and say that, hey, I'm serving as to the Lord. If I don't eat, it's as I'm not eating as to the Lord. Or if I eat, I'm eating as to the Lord. It's all about the Lord. It's all about dedicating one's whole life to the Lord. St. Paul said, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Well, if that is your modus operandi, if that's your reason for getting up in the morning and for operating from day to day, then these are trivial matters. Trivial matters in comparison with the big matter of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Trivial. So in light of the judge, Jesus is going to be judging, and he's the one who sits on there's a word there, rhema, which means judgment seat. So he's sitting on the judgment seat, and he's going to be judging you. I see we're out of time.
Well, when we come back from the break, let's talk about that, because Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So what's he going to judge?
Well, that's very good. Good point. We'll get to that.
821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Join us. The break is a great time to call in. Trust me, I know. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Martin Luther once proclaimed, "I have no pleasure in any man who despises music. It is no invention of ours. It is a gift of God. I place it next to theology. Satan hates music. He knows how it drives the evil spirit out of us." We're now providing beautiful classical music and sacred classics online 24 hours a day at classic99.com. Take pleasure in this gift. classic99.com, a ministry of KFUO Radio.
Worldwide KFUO Salute Tower Day sponsor on this Wednesday, November 27th, 2013. Today's Day sponsors are the Hemi and Hilmer families. Today's Day sponsor has made a contribution to KFUO in loving memory of their father, Herbert Hilmer, and their brother, Bert Hilmer, who are now in their heavenly home with their Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, we say thank you to the Hemi and Hilmer families, today's Worldwide KFUO Day sponsor.
Did you know that you can support KFUO Radio with your Thrivent Choice dollars? Thrivent Choice lets you recommend where some of Thrivent Financial's charitable outreach funds go by directing your choice dollars. Call 800-847-4836 and say Thrivent Choice, or visit thrivent.com/choicedollars for information on how you can support KFUO Radio with your choice dollars.
Welcome back. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Pastor Mark Hawkinson is here. You know him. Weekdays, noon, Moments of Assurance. And on Sundays, you're either driving to or from church. You can catch a short version of Moments of Assurance, the Sunday edition. And we're in Romans chapter 14, going verses 5 to 12. And I agree when you said, Pastor Hawkinson, we're back already? That was quick.
Yeah. It certainly was. Yeah.
We get some of the best discussions going in that 90 seconds.
Yeah, it's kind of like how fast Jesus is going to come again. It's going to be in the blink of an eye, you know, and you know how fast an eye blinks.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
The hardest thing I have to teach my kids, and I endeavor on this every day, because when you're 12 years old or 16 years old, you have goals that you want to reach, and you want to reach them quick, whether it's college or starting to drive or whatever the case may be. And you don't realize just how quickly the time goes by. It's like, you've got to enjoy where you are for a while.
Yeah.
Because you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to be 50. You're going to wonder where has all the time gone.
Or 65.
Or 65 or 80 or 90 or whatever the case may be. So enjoy where you are. Don't be in such a hurry all the time.
You're 40 only once. Enjoy it. Buy it up. Redeem the time. That's what St. Paul said. Redeem, purchase up all the time for God.
You know, I thought,
what it's 40, all about.
I thought 40 was bad, and then I hit 50, and I'd like to be 40 again.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sorry. I hate to tell you this, but it doesn't get better.
Well, the as we went to the break, the question was about this judging. Christ is going to be judge. Romans 8:1, Paul is very clear. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. So what's to be judged here?
Well, you said it well when you said period. There will be nothing held against the Christian person or parson, as the case may be,
very good.
On judgment day, because all your sins have been held against Christ already. He died for them. They're washed away, buried in the depths of the sea, never to be brought up. God the Father won't bring them up. And yet, at the end of our text, it says each person will give an account.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, you look in Matthew 24 and 25, you see the public judgment where the Christians, they weren't even aware of the things, you know what I'm talking about, that they were doing for God.
Right, and the sheep and the goats. Yeah.
And the goats are saying, when did we not do these things? And,
right.
And depart from me, ye cursed, into the, you know, and it's the Bible says it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So without Christ, a person is lost. That message is not an adiaphron. That is something that cannot be fudged on, changed, or manipulated. That message comes forth clearly. There are a lot of other messages that you get from Scripture that are really applications of Bible passages. That's a different matter. That can be adiaphron, rather.
So then why worry about any of this stuff? If I'm not going to be judged for it, if my eternal salvation is not held at risk, who cares?
Well, the public judgment is...
Sorry for being so brutally direct with that.
Well, the public judgment is...
Yeah.
But it's not really adiaphron when it comes right down to it, because is your life not a reflection of Jesus Christ to other people, so that there is a difference in your behavior. When one looks at you and says, hey, I know that person. They go to church here and there, and now every other word that comes out of their mouth is an expletive. And so, you know, how can they, if they really know Jesus Christ, I knew...
you better be careful not read too much Luther.
I knew her a But and that's debatable as to exactly what he said.
I mean, there's
a certain German word.
There's a saltiness to it, yeah.
We will not repeat that on the air, you know what I'm saying? There is a certain German word, but we will leave that for those that want to look it up. And we'll let it go with that. But Romans 12, you went through that just recently. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice
yes.
holy and acceptable to God. So your life is a response to what God has done. And to me, it's not adiaphron. I want to do the things, and yet I say with St. Paul, the good I would, I do not, and that which I would not. So there is a constant struggle as you do, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I just look upon the whole Christian life as one of response to what God has already accomplished for me. And if I'm not reflecting his life, then, you know what? Then I'm doing a poor job of being a Christian.
Now,
that's for sure.
I have to bring this up, and then we'll go to the phones. We've got phone callers that are stacking up for you, Pastor Hawkins, so we want to get to them. But Paul is not shy to condemn doctrinal error.
No.
Not shy at all.
That's not
that.
Adiaphron. That's there's no fudging, there's no debate. This is the way it is. It's grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. Okay. He doesn't fudge on that.
Is scripture clear on murder?
Yeah. Sure.
Is it clear on inappropriate sexuality?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Is it clear on things that we might think of in a social context like living together before marriage or abortion or fill in the blank?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yes.
No gray areas.
Not in those areas that you mentioned, no.
Okay.
Yeah. So commandments are
it
clear.
It seems to me a lot of people that represent themselves as church, as Christians, use this word conscience to justify countermanding those clear teachings of Scripture.
Well, but you know, Luther talks about your conscience being captivated to the Word of God.
Well, it
that's
says here,
problem.
Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. And they use this text, and they use this word conscience to justify anything that just 100 years ago people would have looked at and went, you're nuts. That's not in the Word of God.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're not going against the Word of God, you know, your conscience is still captive to it. I mean, even though there's freedom in it, there's freedom in those decision makings that you make from day to day, but still you're tied into the Word of God.
Hmm.
You're tied to Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces these God-pleasing. You want to make God-pleasing decisions from day to day, and there is freedom, you know, some freedom in those decision makings. But
so when I see a church body ordaining openly and active homosexuals as pastors, do I have to understand why they do this, or is that something that I can judge prima facie on the surface?
Well, you're once again, it goes.
See, this is where Paul makes me really uncomfortable.
No. It all goes back to God's word and your conscience, which only the fool says in his heart, Psalm 14:1, that there is no God. So God places his right thinking is really placed in each human being that he's made, you know, and there is a conscience, there is an awareness of God, even in the mind of the non-Christian. So they know in their conscience that, these things are not the right thing.
A conscience isn't like a compass. It doesn't naturally point to true north. It has to be informed, doesn't it?
It does.
It has to be taught.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. But what I'm saying is the knowledge that there is a God and basic right and wrong is implanted in, they know not to go out, that going out to murder is wrong. You know, the law is written, the natural law written in the heart. That's what I'm talking about. Then you get to all these gray, they try to find gray areas, and then they capitalize on that.
You know, stuff that used to be black and stuff that used to be white is now gray.
Well, the culture has come into play there for sure. You know, people play on that. They play off the culture. And then they use the culture to say, hey, you know, this is 2013. We don't do things like we did in 1964.
I wish we did.
Yeah, if you can think back to 1964, remember the Ford Fairlane and the Galaxy?
I do.
Yeah, brings back good memories.
I had an uncle who drove his Fairlane well into the 80s.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, bought it new in the 60s.
Good.
Built cars differently back then as well. Let's go to the phones. We've had callers waiting patiently to have a question or a comment for you, Pastor Hawkinson. Cheryl, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. You're up first today.
Oh, thank you. You asked a question about making judgments, and I thought of 1 Corinthians 10, starting with 14, actually, but verse 16, and Paul is telling them, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? Blood that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And there are churches that teach this, and that we are called, we're all joined in baptism. We're joined with Christ and one another, and not even death can sever that bond. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are joined to his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We have to make the judgment that, you know, if you don't believe this, I saw on the internet, I saw a performance of the Lord's Supper using the Cat in the Hat character.
Oh, no, you're kidding. Oh, my goodness.
This is an abomination.
Yes, it is.
In a full church. But also, I have to thank Pastor Hawkinson for your prayers for Sophia.
You're welcome.
She celebrates her second birthday on Thanksgiving Day.
Praise God for that.
Well,
that is
birthday,
wonderful.
Sophia.
Yeah, happy birthday to her.
Her new sister, Isabella, will be baptized this weekend.
Oh, man.
So this family is really celebrating.
Yes, I would say so. Well, many, many continued blessings to them and to you this Thanksgiving,
right,
and always
there.
What a joy.
They're right there in St. Louis, too. They go to Village Lutheran.
Okay, we know where that is.
Well,
yeah.
I tell you, Cheryl, if you come down for a visit, stop by the station and see us as well. We'd love to meet you.
We would love to meet you.
Yes. You probably already have.
I know the Bible says we've entertained angels unaware. Are you an angel?
Well, sure.
Oh, boy. All right.
Cheryl, all the
Thanks,
best.
Cheryl.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
Those kids have got an extraordinary resource.
Oh, they do.
To be raised, as you said, in the fear and admonition.
Yes, and isn't that, that's a heartwarming story.
It is.
That has an excellent ending, so praise be to God for that.
Continue. Who is next here? Let's see. Spin the big wheel of who's the next caller and see who do you want to pick here, Mark?
No, I don't want to pick. You're the boss there. Yeah.
We'll go with Mike. Mike is up next. Mike, good morning.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing today?
We're having
doing
fun.
Good.
It's
How are
a
you,
long
Mike?
Weekend coming up. Everything is doing well.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same to you. Happy Thanksgiving. Listen, I was listening to what you were saying, you know, about the Christ over I and such and such.
Right.
But realistically speaking, isn't individual progress the only thing that really matters in life?
Yeah. You're talking about sanctification. You're talking about growing, right? Growing in the faith.
What I mean is, it's just like, even outside of spiritual things, unless things are going, the only thing that matters is how good your life is going generally. Like, you know, you got enough money to live on and, you know, I mean, you're basically happy. You got your material needs are met, and you know, I mean, you know, of course, spiritual things are important. What I'm saying is, but like, you know, it's how my life is doing is really the only thing that's the most important thing in this world. You know,
But that's interesting. But the only thing, Mike, is that this world is passing away. See, that's the only thing. This world doesn't last forever. And it on the one hand, you're right from the standpoint of Philippians chapter 4, which is beautiful, that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So food and drink, your needs for house and home, automobile, whatever you have to drive, your money in your wallet. I like that commercial, that controversial guy that just got fired, you know, what's his name? It doesn't come to me. At any rate, what's in your wallet? That commercial for the credit card.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he just got fired from his job at MSNBC. But material things are important. But they all come from God.
But we're not permitted in the faith
mm-hmm.
to be autonomous. We are, as Cheryl said, connected to one another so that even
That's
though things are
thing.
Going well with me
yeah.
and my life is in order and everything
That's
is
right.
just perfectly fine, I don't get the privilege of neglecting my neighbor or ignoring my
That's
neighbor
a good
or
point.
Not paying attention to those who are in need or the other parts of the body of Christ that are suffering.
Well, I mean, you can be empathetic because you're thinking like, well, if I was in that person's shoes, you know, where you might even develop empathy thinking like, you know, this is like, I would hate to be in that guy's shoes. And you see, so you turn,
okay.
So you have a duty to be charitable, but I mean, but everybody puts themselves first is what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's the sinful nature.
That is the sinful nature. But let's take empathy one step further. If you take empathy one step further, for example, the disaster that happened in Illinois, in Washington, Illinois, where the EF4 tornado came through and wiped the place out. Well, the Lutheran congregation, for example, there is serving as a hub for assistance and for Thanksgiving meals. And see, extending the love of Christ is loving your neighbor as yourself. That's part of, you know, the Christian life. So being thankful for everything that you have, that's one thing. But then extending what you have outward to others, that's all part of it as well.
Okay, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So we appreciate your perspective, and have a very blessed Thanksgiving in Jesus Christ to you.
Okay, you too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Good to hear from you this morning. Still lots of time to join us, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Here is James. James, you keep asking questions about James. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, he knows a good name when he sees one.
Well, blessed Thanksgiving. What's your question this morning?
Happy Thanksgiving to you, both.
Yes, thank you. Same to you. Yeah, hi.
Hi. Well, there are two things that believers are judged for, and that's the sin of partiality and not being charitable. But I'd like for you, Pastor, to take a look at James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12.
Okay.
And explain those two verses to me and kind of tell me how they relate to our text today.
Okay, well, I'll try. I haven't looked at them for a while. Let me just see what it says. It says, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Now, he's talking to, you know, fellow Christians there. The one who speaks against a brother, interesting that you'd point this out, or judges his brother, speaks evil against the law. Well, and that's true. And judges the law. Wow. See, that's true, James, because what that person is doing is they're supererogating their position. They're putting themselves in the position of God, putting themselves in the position of the law. So that is an immediate danger that I see. And he goes on, if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. I think there's one more verse. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?
No, yeah, wait, that sounds
well
just
said.
Like Paul here, doesn't it?
Isn't that interesting, James? You draw that in with the Apostle Paul, and you see the similarity. So same thing applies. We cannot arrogate ourselves to the position of God in judging, because after all, he judges us. Of course, for the Christian, we're saved by grace alone and in Christ alone. So any enumerating of, telling God everything that's happened or however that works, we don't know how that works, will not be an unpleasant experience for the Christian, because all of our sins have been forgiven.
Thank you so very much, Pastor.
You're welcome. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you, James. Yeah. Supererogation.
Yeah, I don't know where that word came from. It just came. It just came to me. Scratch, super arrogate, whatever.
I'm going to assume that part of the root of that word is arrogance.
Yeah, arrogance. There you go. Anybody got a dictionary here? I don't have a dictionary. It just came to me. It's from seminary days or something. I don't know. Don't ask me that. I have no idea. When I don't know a question, I can't answer it, and I can't answer that one. So I don't know.
Well, back to this topic of motivation, which is important to Paul. And I think this is in the background of what we've been discussing the last couple of days, our motivation for doing what we do and why we believe what we believe. How do I know that I'm acting in a manner that is complementary to Scripture?
Complementary, yeah.
Well, I mean, for example, the text you just read from James, the text we've read from Paul today in Romans about judging, when to judge, not to judge in matters that are trivial, but to only reserve judgments for matters that are critical, that are core, doctrinal, that sort
of
thing.
Right, yeah.
How do I know that I'm acting appropriately?
Well, first thing you do is you pray about it, in all honesty, in all sincereness. You ask God that when you go to Scripture, He gives you the right interpretation and that the right application to your life, and that application would be lived out, not just kept to yourself, but lived out, because it isn't just about you. It's about Christ and it's about your neighbor. Those two things, Christ and your neighbor.
It strikes me, I can calm my conscience by self-justifying that everything I do is in the name of the Lord. I'm judging you because I'm purifying the church.
Okay. Well, I think you can relax.
Or whatever it may be. Whatever. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
When you put your head in your pillow at night.
No.
If you have a good feeling about the day, then you know you serve the Lord well. If you do not have a good feeling about the day, then you have to take another look at what was it about that day that was not right. And then ask the Lord in prayer that the next day, that whatever you was amiss would be taken away and, of course, forgiven, and that you would be able to rise above those things and live more fully to the Lord. It's all about being fully persuaded. And that, again, is tied into the Lord's precious word, where the Holy Spirit works to make that persuasion happen in the first place.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's see who's been waiting here. Let's go with Rick. You are next. Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy.
Hey, good morning. Shalom and happy Thanksgiving.
Peace to you, Hanukkah. As well. Yes.
Hanukkah lands at the same time.
That's right. Starts today.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure Pastor Kevin Purves is busy making preparations for this evening.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes, sir. Pastor Hawkinson, you hit it right a while ago when you talked about that person you run into. You don't know what kind of day they've been having.
Right.
But some of these people I work with day in, day out, and it's like, man, you're having a bad day every day.
Yeah, I know what you mean there, Rick. Yes.
Yeah, so one hand it works, but the thing I've got to remember and continually put before me is God's wonderful grace, and just keep saying, there go I, there go I, except for the grace of God.
That's right, Rick.
That helps, but there's still issues, and there is still plenty of time for prayer to get us in to that mode before we ever get there. You know, you say entertaining angels unaware, which hopefully all of us have been able to do, but in our downtime, if we can increase our prayer time, we might be that angel that runs into that person that needs.
Okay. I know what you're saying. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah. Do not neglect strangers and opportunities that come your way. Make the most of the time. St. Paul said the days are evil. And so redeem the time. That's a very good point. Appreciate that very much.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks.
Same to you.
You do the same. All right. Let's go one more caller, and then I've got a couple more questions for you, Pastor Hawkinson. Let's go with Jan. Jan, good morning.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Jan. How's everything down south there?
Oh, kind of blustery. I feel like Winnie the Pooh this morning. But
see, now, are you in Atlanta then? Is that where you're from?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Beautiful city. Yeah, I like peach.
From Detroit.
I like peach. Oh, you're from Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So are you a northerner or a southerner?
Well, I'm a northerner.
Okay.
I'm actually from the Midwest. So,
okay.
You know, that's where I was born and raised, and that was my origin. So, but my family is here now.
Well, that's good. I understand what you're saying. That's good. What's your question here or comment here this
morning?
Well,
you know, I'm just frustrated by the political correctness of, oh, let me not judge. You know, you remember back in the day they used to say a person of discriminating tastes. What that means, what that meant then and what it means now really is I have an objective standard by which to measure my behavior.
Okay. I follow you. Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at Luke 17:3, Jesus' words to all of us. Pay attention to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. There needs to be a distinction made between judgment and condemnation. And I don't know this, but does the Greek do that in this passage? Finally, you know, I think it's in Leviticus. It says, don't be partial to the small or show favoritism to the great. And
mm-hmm.
I think when we all are subject to the rule and norm of God's word, I'm not condemning you for that behavior. I'm telling you that that behavior is dangerous and sinful.
Ah, see, Jan, you just hit the nail on the head right there. This is not a matter of condemnation. That's very, very critical because you can't look into somebody's heart. You know what I'm saying? It's not a matter of that, but it is a matter of, you know, you recognize if they're going against the Lord's word and if they're sinning against you, you still forgive them. And that forgiveness is just keeps coming back to them, just like Christ's forgiveness keeps coming to you. So again, there is a line of demarcation between condemnation and the other thing you said, or forgiveness or whatever.
Judgment.
What was the
judgment.
Other word? Judgment. I'm sorry. Yeah, judgment.
Yeah.
Condemnation and judgment. Yeah, very much so.
Y'all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Be blessed and safe.
You
we
too.
Will.
Thanks so much,
you
Jan.
Also.
God bless. Thank you.
Really, when you think about this, Pastor Hawkinson, when it comes to judging, we wind up putting ourselves in the place of Christ.
Exactly the danger right there.
Why is
Ouch.
That a bad thing? As if that's not self-evident, but why is that a bad thing?
Well, it's a bad thing from the standpoint of hypocritical judging. When you don't have all the facts, when you don't know all the story, when you don't know all the situation, and don't hypocritically, and I'll use what Jan said, condemn. Don't hypocritically condemn another person, then you are placing yourself in the judgment seat of Christ. That would be the danger. It's not that we do make judgments on, you know, improper behavior that continues, just like Rick was talking about. His coworkers are, you know, they're having a bad day. Well, they're having a bad day every day. And it's like, you know, you can identify with that.
We know people
you know,
like
we
that.
Can we identify do. With that. That's for sure. So I think there's a difference there. And so sometimes you're right, Roland, that we do place ourselves in that position.
And that's a first commandment thing again, isn't it?
Yeah. That's no other gods. That's right.
Does that not demonstrate that God does have a sense of humor? That there are nine that follow the first one?
If he doesn't, I'm in trouble. I'm in deep linguine, heavy spaghetti, and everything
it's
else.
Really, it all comes back to the first one. There is...
That's right.
That is the chief sin.
Yeah.
Starting with Adam, working its way on down to us.
You got it right
We
there.
Think we know better than God. That's what this whole judgment thing is about. Well, it's Thanksgiving time, folks. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We are thankful to God that we have such wonderful listeners and callers and people to support the ministry that is KFUO, and also such excellent, excellent teachers like Pastor Mark Hawkinson.
Well, thank you, sir.
Have a great and blessed Thanksgiving Day. We're back on Monday with a Bible study. Up next, Faith and Family, then Moments
there you
of Assurance.
Go.
The Bible
Thanks
Study
so much.
Monday
God
through
bless.
Friday at this time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, the president of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Did you know it only takes a few words or a kind gesture to lift up someone in need of hearing the gospel? You can help LCMS Ministries concentrate on doing more and reaching more. With the Lutheran Church Extension Fund investment, you empower ministries with loans and resources that keep the mission moving forward. Investments directly benefit LCMS schools, congregations, care centers, universities, and international ministries. Visit lcef.org or call 800-843-5233.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on Worldwide KFUO. Our early service begins at 8:15 Central and originates from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, where Reverend John Shank serves as pastor. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, where Pastor Kevin Golden leads the service. Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
The Messenger of Good News. KFUO Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD. Worldwide at KFUO.org.